Oh man, greatly beloved, that is you. That's the greeting that the angel Gabriel gave to Daniel. And for the next couple of weeks, the Grace Hour show, this wonderful, popular podcast that comes to you from Baltimore.
Well said.
It's true. Subscribers, we more and more. Thank you so much for subscribing to the Grace Hour podcast. And
it could be
I'm
you.
Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me, Pastor Ronaldo Brown, the Baltimore connection, as they say, West Side, East Side. Actually, I'm outside because I grew up in Overly, but you are
just
in the
don't
West
be
side.
Offsides.
Yeah, just don't be offside. That's a problem. We're not talking football, but we are talking about Daniel this week and next week on the Grace Hour show, and we really want to dive into this. We're going to talk about the background, how mm-hmm. Daniel got where he got, mm-hmm. and the conviction that was in him and his three Hebrew friends. These four men, very significant, and they're great stories about living by conviction. As if you've ever read the book of Daniel, you know that these men were men of conviction. And so we're going to talk about how Daniel got to where he was at the beginning of the book. And he is an exile from Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and he is a young man, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are also young men, and there's a background. Why was Israel in exile? Why were they in captivity? It comes down to idolatry and disobedience, and this is a period in Israel's history that gives us some of the greatest literature that we could read in times of chaos, mm-hmm. don't you think?
Absolutely. I think how they got here is as important as what happens when they're there.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back in history, biblically and culturally, Israel ended up here because of years and years of compromise, spiritual compromise.
Yep. Division. Yep.
Exactly.
Everything.
And because of that compromise, it was prophesied and prophesied and prophesied. And then God said, okay, you continue to compromise. Here's the consequence of compromise. Capture. They get taken over completely. And Daniel, and this is interesting, is the law of unintended consequences. When we compromise spiritual truth, sometimes there are other people that get hurt because of that.
Yeah.
Like Daniel didn't compromise, but he suffered the consequence of compromise. And then once he's put in the position to see how does he feel about compromise, the challenge of compromise, we find him in chapter 1. And he's faced with the same decision that his forefathers faced. Will I compromise? But the backdrop of Daniel is a nation, a compromised nation has got to meet a convicted God. That's what I'm trying to say anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so amazing about this word compromise. The people of God who could least afford to compromise because of their testimony and their picture of Christ, that group of people, many, many years ago, compromised. And then they were led into captivity in Babylon in the first of three deportations. The Babylonians came, captured them, took the youngest and the brightest and the royalty, marched them 900 miles from Jerusalem to Babylon. And then they went into Babylonian captivity, and Daniel was in this group.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that this is a significant issue for modern society, we don't, you know, in terms of compromise, what we read about Israel is when they entertain the gods of the nations that they were supposed to push out of the promised land, when they allow those gods, those people and their gods to linger, and then the people started to submitting to the gods, eventually the government of those peoples came to Israel. Like you said, the compromise led to the consequence. You talked about that, you know, we have these great stories of Ezra, Nehemiah. These are also from this period of time. Zechariah, Haggai, these are the return prophets.
That's right.
But, you know, coming back to Jerusalem, Ezra, Nehemiah, but these men, Ezekiel, Daniel, mm-hmm. are in Babylon.
Absolutely.
And they are hearing from God and they are speaking for God to, well, Daniel in particular, he speaks to God, he speaks for God to the power, mm-hmm. who is the king. Mm-hmm. King. So Babylon had like a brief space of total domination, and then it was gone.
Yep.
And it's because they had, I think it's, be, you know, that was their consequence, right?
Yep.
That'll be something that'll be approached later on,
sure.
In the, as we study the book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just, you know, talk about, you know, Daniel, particularly the first chapter, they get, immediately they get confronted with a big decision.
Yeah, in chapter one, he's young. And what I like about this story is we catch him young. We catch Daniel as a young man still formulating his decisions in life.
Mm-hmm.
Often in the Word of God, you found young people, teenagers, young people faced with traumatic and challenging decisions at a very young age. So the first thing you don't expect from a young person is maturity. Yet
yeah.
the Bible keeps giving us pictures of young people making huge, what I call big boy shoes decisions.
Mm.
And here he is in a foreign land with foreign food and foreign people with surrounded by foreign gods. And you'll see later in the chapter, his names are changed. His job is changed. Ironically, I know we think of him as a eunuch, but there's not a verse that really says that he is a eunuch. But he's treated like a eunuch, and the way he has access to Nebuchadnezzar and his access to Cyrus, he wouldn't be that close to royalty without most likely being
yeah.
a eunuch, because they wouldn't trust you around their women. But
they don't want you wandering into the harem,
yeah, well,
you know?
Trust me, after you've been made a eunuch, there's no
handsome
wandering
Hebrews,
anymore.
There's a problem there, you know?
Absolutely. So it's like he's all these challenges, and what's in front of him? First of all, there's opportunity. This is what's in our life with God. Every day we're faced with opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Then in that opportunity, there are options.
Yeah.
And this is what you see in the life of Daniel. He's got, even though he's in a foreign land, he's got the opportunity to walk with God. And then walking with God is one of the options. Or there's another yeah. option inside the opportunity, which is not to walk with God. And it's a reasonable one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the trap for the believer. Many times in our life, Satan does not catch us at the knees with bad options.
Mm-hmm.
He gives up some phenomenal options, and we can build our life without God. We can have a life of compromise strictly because you have a reasonable life divorced of God's perfect will and God's testimony. So then there's this option that I choose. It's not a bad option, because what you see offered to Daniel was not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's like, you know what? You're going to be treated nice. It'll be a nice job. At the same time, we're going to feed you well. We're going to take care of you. The best of us eat this way. The best of us live this way. Don't you want the best, Mr. Christian? Don't yeah. you want the best? Don't you want to be successful? The best of us live in this kind of house. The best of us dress this way. The best of us eat and drink this particular food. And when you take that option, once you choose the option, next step is ownership.
Mm.
Daniel was able to see through the opportunity, to look through the options and decide what he would take ownership of.
Mm.
So he's kind of, he along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're all forced into this opportunity. And what I like about God, he doesn't give them a pass.
No.
God doesn't give you a pass. Mm. Whether you're in Jerusalem or Babylon, God says, walk with me.
Yeah.
Walk with me. He doesn't say, you know what? You guys just got marched 900 miles. You've suffered. It's not fair. It's not right. What did you do wrong? Your forefathers are the reason why you're in Babylon. What did we do? We don't see Daniel with any known sin. We don't see Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They haven't done anything wrong. Yet as a consequence of someone else's decisions, we suffer. So my question is, okay, Pastor Steve, it's not fair. Why doesn't God give them a pass?
I guess, you know, let's look at, when we look at the beginning,
yeah.
the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, so we know that this king was one of the kings that, after Josiah died in battle,
mm-hmm.
the kings that followed them were not spiritual people. Josiah was the last spiritual king. He had the word of God read to him. He tore his clothes. He led a revival all the way into the northern kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He celebrated a Passover, everything. But now we have this king, and I think it's interesting when you look at this, because
mm-hmm.
this really takes us back. Babylon,
mm-hmm.
he besieged it. he brought these people and the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, mm-hmm. which is like we're back to the place where the peoples were all one, mm-hmm. and they were building a tower to make a name for themselves. Mm. We're back in Shinar.
Wow.
And this is, you know, at that point in time, God divided the peoples according to the languages. That's I said right. this the other night, which is really, we are different, right. but the way the difference that was established was by language, yes. not by skin tone. It's kind of interesting. I was saying that in the Bible college class last night. I mm-hmm. was saying, you know, at the Tower of Babel is where the differences began, and it began with your ears. You yes. had to hear mm-hmm. someone talking the way that you were talking. And so we're back to the Tower of Babel.
Wow.
And at the Tower of Babel, God divided humanity, mm-hmm. and then he chose Abraham out of that humanity to mm-hmm. create a nation that he could speak to. And the thing is like you said, the compromising way of the Israelites mm-hmm. led them to go back to this time, there back to the Babel place, back right. to the place where all was confused. And, you know, it could be said that maybe, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, throughout the book of Daniel, we're going to see the development of Nebuchadnezzar as a ruthless ruler and then as somebody who's humbled by God. Mm-hmm. But I think he brings them to Shinar. He puts them in the, to the house of his God, and he puts the vessels from the house of God, the temple of God, in the house of his God. Mm-hmm. So now I think that is like really like to me, I'm looking at that as like a stylistic setup. Like mm-hmm. who are the vessels of God in this picture? Now we're going to meet Daniel yes. and his four.
Well said.
Like
yeah.
they've come here. Mm-hmm. Here they are. This is where it all started. Mm-hmm. Can they still speak the language mm-hmm. that God gave them mm-hmm. back at Babel? Mm. You know, now mm-hmm. they've learned a different language, you know, because right. I think you said it. It's in Lamentations. It's good to bear the yoke
yeah.
in your youth. Mm-hmm. And Daniel, you said these are young men. Mm-hmm. They were bearing the yoke in their youth. That's why as vessels, they were put into this place mm-hmm. rather than into the mud pits or something like that. I'm sure there's a lot of other bad jobs, right?
That's a beautiful word picture that the vessels that are mentioned that were carried in captivity into the house of God. And then there's spiritual vessels. Yeah. These young men are spiritual vessels that were also kind of put into the wrong house.
Yes.
The wrong way. It's a beautiful yep. application. And the vessels, the physical vessels, didn't have any opportunity, but these vessels do.
Yeah.
But if those vessels can't speak, then these vessels can speak.
Yeah.
And it appears like both vessels from the outside looked good.
Yeah.
Right? It says it's verse 4, verse 5. Yeah. They were well favored. They looked well. They were intelligent. It's like taking the best of the world, which kind of sounds like King Saul a little bit with the Amalekites.
Yeah.
Take the best of the world. Are you taking the best of the world for the kingdom of God? That's a beautiful question. Some Christians, they have a goal like, I'm going to live for God, but I'm going to look good doing it.
I think what you just said, if you can flip that,
yeah.
sometimes the world takes the best of the kingdom of God and brings it into its presence.
Sure.
Like here you see like all mm-hmm. these gold mm-hmm. things. Wow. Hebrew writing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Let's take it.
Glory to the Lord. We're going to put it in the house of our God. And then, what's it say? They're without blemish. They're mm-hmm. good appearance, skillful
sure.
in all wisdom, mm-hmm. endued with knowledge, all of these things. Hey, right. they're young. They're smart. Yeah. Let's put them in this place.
Let's
right?
use them for our glory. Yeah,
that's right.
It's interesting how that happens. And it's a great temptation. It's a great temptation to heed the world's call.
Mm-hmm.
The best and the brightest. I think about C.T. Studd.
Yeah.
Best and the brightest. Star athlete,
yep. you know.
Smart guy, yeah. and he abandoned it all for the call of God.
Yeah.
How many – that's the accusation of the church. That people that can't make it in the world join the church.
That's right.
Because they don't fit. Well, you know what? He was a lousy salesman. Now he's a Christian. Or he was a lousy business owner. Now he's a Christian. And it's so funny that it's not that the world comes and raids the church for the best of us. But what the world offers is a reasonable substitute.
Mm.
A reasonable. And this is what is the underlying situation here. Like, you know what, Daniel? Your nation has to suffer, but you don't have to suffer.
Yeah.
How about nice food? Nice job, nice life. I can make things very, very good for you.
Mm.
On your job, you know what? You can cheat help me cheat. I know you're a Christian, but hey, I can make things very, very good for you.
You remember that song?
VBS, Dare to Be a Daniel?
Right? Yeah, that's right. That's the old song.
Dare to stand alone, because at times you do feel like you stand alone, Deacon.
Well, you mean you want a better situation, but it's not the blessed situation. Well, it's, you get a better situation. And we know people.
Sure.
We know people who've chosen that path. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we could say that they might have, like, you know, some status. They might even have a good cash flow. Mm-hmm. They might even have the coolest car right now, you know, Tesla City, you know, but I'm not saying if you own a Tesla, I have nobody in mind, but we right. both know people
sure.
that have made choices to, right. you know, and here's a completely different dynamic. It's like these guys didn't apply for this opportunity. Mm-hmm. This opportunity was given to them by God because, yeah. you know, it's all about missions, right? This, right?
I mean, really.
I mean, we're talking next week is going to be summer harvest week here. Yep. We're going to have prayer meetings every day. We're preparing for what we're going to do in the summer, what places we're going to visit, what kind of opportunities. It starts this Sunday night. You mm-hmm. can come here, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'll have a great preview of what nations and mm-hmm, what teams mm-hmm. are available. 6:30 it starts. There'll be some food, great message, music, all of that. But, you know, we know that, you know, these Hebrew boys who would bear, they bore the yoke of God in their youth and mm-hmm. they were singled out. You know, they were chosen.
Sure.
They were chosen by the Chaldeans mm-hmm. to be in their court of their king. And now we, you know, this is just the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's in our lifetime. We have to understand the opportunity. Ephesians 5:16, redeem the time, buy up the opportunity. Yes. They had an opportunity, and it was so funny. What the world sees as a catastrophe for the believer is an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, it's ugly and horrible to be taken from your homeland and taken to Babylon. And there's certain parts of Psalm 119 that have been alluded to describe that journey, that 900 mile journey all the way to Babylon. And these young men went through it. But it's God sees an opportunity. Number one, an opportunity to know God.
Yeah.
Number two, an opportunity to reveal God. And not necessarily being preachy. You could be.
Mm-hmm.
But how about living with God before men?
Yeah.
Is that not the ultimate call? Is that not the ultimate mission? 2 Corinthians 5:20, to be an ambassador of Christ. Mm-hmm. If anything, God is penetrating Babylon. He's using the captivity of Israel to penetrate Babylon with Hebrew missionaries, which is why Jeremiah 17, I want to say verse 5 or 6, we mentioned it the other night, Jeremiah writes to the captives, and he says, in Babylon, pray for them.
Yeah.
And in their peace, pray for peace in Babylon. In their peace, you'll find peace.
Yeah.
Why? Because we've been sent. We heard it the other night. Uh-huh. You don't wake up every day going where you go, but if you're led by God and God's will and God's plan, every place you go, you are a missionary. It's an opportunity to redeem the time to meet Christ and reveal Christ wherever you are.
Yeah. So we see, getting into the passage a little further here, the first chapter. The king assigned them daily portion. This mm-hmm. is where
your rub comes in.
Yeah, this is where you got the challenge. The food that the king ate and the wine that he drank. So, and you know this better. You know, like the king and everything that he is mm-hmm. filters down to everything. Just like in the tribal units you ministered to in Africa, sure. the chief, mm-hmm. everything filters down. So what he eats, you eat. What yep. he drinks, you drink. What these guys, you know, they, you know, it's the king is trying to make them like him.
Sure.
And this cannot be.
Yeah, they went to, it's like your friends are out drinking and you drink with me.
Yeah.
Whatever I'm doing, you're doing with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're in this together. The opportunity is here. And this is where the challenge comes in. This is the challenge comes in the options.
Mm-hmm.
Like you ever meet somebody as a Christian and there's an opportunity to fellowship with this person, but then they have a lifestyle that's different than your lifestyle. Now you have an option to make. And here's the challenge. The challenge is in the options. Will I participate, or will I make a decision not to? It says, Daniel in verse 8, probably one of the most famous verses in the whole chapter, says he purposed in his heart. Mm. He made a decision. When presented with the options, he made a decision. I have to make a decision based on the decisions that I've made before. That's what a conviction looks like. We're seeing the anatomy of a conviction.
That's it.
The anatomy of a conviction. How do I get a conviction about anything? Okay, I make a decision. I line it up with truth. If truth approves that decision, or truth makes a decision and I by faith agree in Hebrews 4:2, then I consistently agree with that decision. The birth of that is the beginning of a conviction.
Yeah. And I think the thing that I'm thinking, like in Jeremiah, we have that group of people, that mm-hmm. tribal group, that clan,
yep.
the Rechabites, mm-hmm. right? And you'll see where I'm going with this.
Okay.
I'm thinking there's like someone that we don't read about here. And that is like whoever Daniel's parents were, or whoever these three Hebrew boys' parents were, because mm-hmm. they didn't get these convictions on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And we know in Proverbs it says, don't forsake your father mm-hmm. or your friends of your father. And I've always taken that like more spiritualized it a little bit. Sorry. But like, I don't think it's the guys that my dad hung out with, but I think it is the
bowling team.
I'm sorry. God bless my father in heaven. But thinking, the friends. The friends of the father of the Rechabites, uh-huh. you know, was his convictions mm-hmm. and his commitment to the word of God. And I think Daniel, you know, we don't, you know, like in Hannah, in the story of Hannah, we get the story of the husband who's like
yes.
the big guy mm-hmm. in the picture. Elkanah is sort of like dismissed as like, okay, but he did take his family to worship every year.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannah prayed. And here we get Daniel and three Hebrew boys. Who were their parents? We're mm-hmm. going to learn that at some point in life.
Yes.
But I think like the Rechabites refused the wine. Mm-hmm. And this was Hebrew wine.
That's it.
You know, this was Hebrew wine. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jeremiah is filling up the bucket saying, yep. come on, partake. Yep. No, we don't do that. It's mm-hmm. like, it's a friend of our fathers.
Mm.
This conviction was a friend of our fathers. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. What do you think?
I think your father's convictions tend to be yours.
Yeah.
I think for better or for worse. But when they're spiritual, they're eternal.
Yeah.
And you learn to discern, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like at a young age, these guys, they grew up in a certain environment and they yeah. learn certain things, but they glean something spiritual, which is a lot to us as parents.
Mm-hmm.
And being guardians of the atmosphere of our children,
yep.
being guardians of the relationship people have with our children, to be concerned about that, to be involved in that. And I think that's one side of this. The other side of this is just knowing that with your children, if they're raised in a godly environment, there is fruit mm-hmm. and fruit that remains. And the testimony of these young men's parents is made apparent in the Bible.
Yeah.
You may not know a lot about their parents, but you see their parents' fingerprints all in their life and their convictions. Because convictions, they take time to develop.
Yes.
And these are 16, 17, 18-year-old young men. So in a very short period of time, they were exposed in a large way to godly convictions in a relatively godly culture, which also testifies to the fact that you can be in a godless culture and raise godly kids. You can be in a godly culture and raise godly teenagers, because here they are. I mean, if anybody had a right to be reckless, Daniel and Shadrach, they should have been gang members. They could have easily
gang leaders. Like, they're the
drug
smartest.
Dealers. Are you kidding me? They could have went way out. They could have been way out of control. They are like, no, thank you. No brisket for me. No, thank you. I don't want that pork chop. No, thank you. I'm going to have something different. First of all, these are men.
Yeah.
And they're turning down meat. And they're taking on vegetables. And over-culturalizing this, I don't know if I could be a Daniel in that moment. That might be hard for me. That brisket looks awful good. So the spiritual conviction here is tremendous.
I hope they at least got some onion rings out.
Mozzarella sticks at some point. I mean, come on. You kidding me? But to walk past the brisket and pick up the lettuce, that's a move of God.
Well, the other thing is, like, we know the ABC, we know the ABCs of conviction are pretty much detailed mm-hmm. in Psalm 119.
Yes.
And it could have been like, you know, we've been taught this. We've had lessons, that Ezra and Ezra's parents maybe, or Ezra's father and mm-hmm. his you know, they taught these, mm-hmm. you know, these Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet mm-hmm. verses, eight, you know, and it's long, it's eight stanzas. And then we see, and I think we see the pattern because a couple other Psalms that are organized that way. And then also Daniel, Jeremiah's Lamentations are all organized based on the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So I'm thinking, like, how did these guys get these convictions? I mean, it was like, you know, you can see maybe in their brains, if you're looking at them, they're referencing that convictions. Mm-hmm. It's good for us to be afflicted that we might know the statutes of God.
Right.
And the, you know, and that could be the, you know, just like Job, I know my Redeemer lives,
that's right.
you know, and when he's tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. Mm-hmm. And in between, I'm going to complain a lot. But, yeah. you know, the same thing here. These guys are, you know, they have this, you know, they're presented, like you're saying, here's the food, mm-hmm. here's the wine, mm-hmm. have at it.
Right.
And, you know.
But you made a good point. I like where you went back. The strength of Daniel 1 is mm-hmm. found in Psalm 119.
Yeah.
In other words, those 9 months,
yeah.
900 miles,
yeah.
that was the test.
Yeah.
If you walk through 900 miles and you, when you read Psalm 119, he constantly says, but I will not sully myself. I will, the word of God in every verse but one, the word of God is mentioned. How does a young man cleanse his ways?
That's right.
In verse 11?
Yeah.
The word of God. So the word of God became strong, convicted, so, which was the law at that time. So
yeah.
the word of God was the law. So the very thing they're asked to violate in chapter one was the very thing that he's kept in his heart for 9 months. And there's the secret. If you're going to challenge me, if the word of God is the thing you're going to challenge me in, you mm-hmm. lose. Because
yeah.
for 9 months and 900 miles, it's been the word of God, the word of God, the word of God. Ding! I'm in Babylon. Hey, violate the word of God. Because as much as we make light of the food part of this, the reality was it was a challenge against the word of God. And they renamed them and said, your blessing will be based upon other gods, not based mm. upon mm. the word of God, God. So their very faith was challenged through practicality.
That's right.
And that's a good picture here. Not just honoring God on Sunday, but can I walk with God in a practical way in my living? Galatians 2:20, the life that I now live. How do I keep that? According to Daniel, it's the word of God.
Yeah.
According to Daniel, the word that was tested on the road is the word that keeps me in the palace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, and I'm going to say one thing, and then I want you to talk about the intelligence, the spiritual intelligence that Daniel has to face this, mm-hmm. not as, you know, not like as like a Pharisee, mm-hmm. like we're not doing that because this is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the way that he craftily, you know, with wisdom. But there is a point in Mark, you know, there's like, you know, when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower, he talks about this process of entanglement mm-hmm. with the weeds.
Yes.
And, you know, the one, like you said, the first thing is the practicality. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the need for things and then the lust for other things. And mm-hmm. before you know it, you're all tangled up because you want more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
But it always begins, right?
Yeah.
Here's the food.
Yeah.
And you know you're hungry.
Yeah.
And the king's eating it. Yeah. You're eating like a king.
Jesus, you're Whoa. Hungry. Feed yourself. That's Don't right. be stupid. Eat it.
Make a loaf of seeded yeah, rye yeah, right there
here.
Out of that piece
Good.
Of granite.
Yes,
come on
now. You think God wants you to suffer? I remember one person said to me one time, you know, God doesn't want me to be poor. And I said, I don't want you to be poor. You don't want to be poor. But there's not a verse in the Bible that you can tell me that says that God doesn't want you to be poor. The Bible is littered with poor people. So be careful when you start presuming what God wants. Be
yeah,
careful.
Really.
There's some people, the life that God has chosen for them is less prosperous than the life that God has allowed for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. Be careful when you start looking sideways for the will of God. When you look horizontally for the will of God, you will end up eating the king's meat.
That's true. And I think, you know, Paul's instruction, is it to Timothy? Did he say that? Yeah. Godliness with contentment is the greatest gain.
First Timothy says,
it's like, if you can be content in mm-hmm. the state that you're in,
mm-hmm.
you know, then, you know, you have a godliness. I think that speaks of our positional truth, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of discontented Christians. We know.
Absolutely. And the verse before that, what did
he
say?
God wants me to be rich, right?
And there, it says, and those who teach godliness is gain. What does it say? For from such withdrawal.
Yeah.
It says from such, it says if someone's teaching you that what you have and what you do is godliness, he says withdraw from those people.
Yeah.
It's a strong admonition from Paul, like get away, because that's so far from God.
So, wow. Yeah. So back to the other point that I wanted you to comment on, which is like the wisdom, like, okay. You know, this is a situation. This is, you are in captivity. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, the chances of you getting killed for doing the wrong decision are, you know,
high.
Yeah. High. And it could happen instantly. Everyone's got a sword around you.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you know, the intelligent way, the wise way he answers them. Mm-hmm. Look, I've got a bargain for you.
Yeah.
Like everyone's going to be better off if they eat like us.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
I'll make you look good. It reminds me of 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, King, in 17, David has just killed Goliath. People are singing about him. His name is all over King Saul's palace. The palace is full of King Saul's relatives.
Yeah.
But the Bible says this about David. One translation says it in 1 Samuel 18, he knew how to go in and go out.
Yep.
God gives his people wisdom that we can work, we can be in the world, but not of the world in John chapter 17. We can work in and work out. We can have jobs in the world. Mm. We can live among people in the world, but we don't have to be worldly. We can operate in wisdom, right? My friend drinks. How come you don't drink? You're not my friend. Well, I'm the friend who doesn't drink.
Mm.
I didn't say I'm not your friend. I said I'm the friend who doesn't drink. So I'm going to be the person in your life who's going to be different than the others. Mm. Our relationship is good, but I just don't partake in that. And that's what he did. He didn't attack them for what they did,
no.
Which I like. He didn't condemn. But rather than say that they were wrong, he said, let us be right.
Yeah.
He was very wise. Proverbs 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing.
Yeah.
I also think about Matthew 11 when the Pharisees accused Jesus and said, you're demonic, you're a glutton, you're a bastard, you're all these things. And Jesus didn't defend himself. He just said, well, wisdom is justified of our children. If what I'm saying is not wise, it'll come to fruition that it's not wise. But if what I'm saying is wise, that will also prove itself too, which is what Daniel said. Like, okay, give us 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Not a long time. Give us 10 days and let everybody else eat the other diet.
Yeah.
And not in rebellion, but instead of making a rebellion, he made an experiment. That was a masterstroke. He went from all out anarchy to a science lab. That's okay, let's try this out. John Hopkins, let's try this out. Let's just see. Just three of us, four of us, we're just going to eat the pulse, the vegetables. I know it's not the barbecue, but give us 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, if God doesn't keep us, if we're not healthier, then we'll gladly submit. I like that. He was so clever. He didn't attack. He created an opportunity where there was no opportunity. That's wisdom.
I think that's the end of, you think it's the end of, 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, but I show you a more excellent way. It's like yes. Daniel is saying, I want to show you a more excellent way.
Mm.
And then we know that the whole group of them, all of, you know, the other guys are like, the prime rib is gone, guys. Sorry. Whose fault is it? And I mean, this could have led to like a lot of problems later on, lingering, lingering consternation. Later on, trying to attack Daniel because they lost their prime rib in their wine.
If you walk into a group of men and say, okay, no more meat, we're all doing lettuce, that's going to have some serious adverse. You should never have opened your mouth. But they couldn't deny the results.
Yeah.
They couldn't deny the results.
Yeah,
so.
Count the number of men at the salad bar at Fogo de Chao. I remember that, I think it was Tim, my son. It was a bachelor's party, and we're like, count the number of. One of the guys at the table is counting the number of men over at the salad bar. I said, not a whole lot over there. I said, I think I'm going to get a salad after all of this meat. But anyway, sorry, guys.
If a man is there, he's on doctor's orders. I can promise you that. Medically mandated.
Okay. But I think that, again, we get another, little taste of like how God is working this. It says that the steward, the mm-hmm. guy who's stewarding these people, these men, he listened to them in the matter, mm-hmm. which is like, there's a humility there. He was worried about his head.
Right.
But the spirit goes before you, like mm-hmm. the story of David. You know, right. David was supposed to fight one way one time.
That's
and
right.
the next time when he was going to the Philistines, God said, wait until you hear the sound in the tops of the trees.
Yes.
Then you'll know that you got, a way made. And so God made a way mm-hmm. here. And they tested him for 10 days and they were better in appearance and fatter. Mm-hmm. The vessels in Nebuchadnezzar's house now, these are all the vessels mm-hmm. floated. They floated all the vessels mm-hmm. there to the top because of their diet.
Yeah, the diet. Who knew? Yeah, who knew? What I like about it is that, that God didn't just bless them with wisdom with the diet because they honored God in that decision. Next verse 17 all the way through the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
God also it says, I like how the Bible says that God gave them means it implies something that they didn't have previously.
Yeah.
It implies
exactly.
that it was a
yeah.
benefit of obedience. Mm-hmm. That if you can obey God in the opportunity in Psalm 36 verse 9, in light, you will get more light. And that's yeah. exactly what they got. God gave them knowledge. God gave them skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel, this is where you get the first inkling of Daniel having a prophetic vision, understanding in all vision and dreams. And then that will actually kind of set the table for the next chapter. But it's amazing to me. The lesson for me is this. You never lose when you obey God.
No.
You never lose when you walk in your convictions. You might not be popular. You might not be liked. In the short term, intermediate term, it might not be a blessing for you. But God keeps those. You back to Hannah, 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, I will honor those who honor me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll honor those who honor me. And this little part right here is so brilliant because it just shows the reward of honoring God.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And when you think about like opening their minds to the things that they're going to need, like, mm-hmm. Like you said, we're going to talk the next podcast, the next Grace Hour show, you and I are going to talk about, the dream interpretation
yep.
and what Daniel gets from that. And mm-hmm. we know that this is like something that is cosmic.
Yeah.
It's still cosmic. I just saw it the other day. I was driving up by the mall up there, White Marsh Mall
okay.
up there. And then like in the midst of all the, there's the car dealerships mm-hmm, and there's mm-hmm. the, what is it? There's the, what is it? There's CarMax,
okay.
a couple other car dealerships.
Yeah.
There's a firehouse. And then right in the middle of it, there's an old dilapidated house that White Marsh Mystic.
Oh, wow.
White Marsh. So we know that the cosmic element is like, is like always like, never. It's never really buried.
No.
Right? It's never really buried.
Well, we love the mysterious. We love to try to explain the unexplainable, the mystery. We're stimulated by it. We're intrigued by it. We're curious. That's why horror movies we love. We love shows. The supernatural intrigues us, and it's because that we're drawn to the supernatural. In Isaiah 5 and 6, there's eternity in our hearts, so we're drawn beyond that. But I'm excited because this is the end of the Aramaic.
Yeah.
This is the end of the Hebrew, excuse me. The Hebrew stops here in chapter 1. And from chapter 2 to chapter 7, it's all Aramaic.
Okay.
And in chapter 2, we start getting into the Daniel that we all know, the Daniel of dreams and visions. And right now, God begins to use Daniel in a very corporate way.
Mm.
This is private in chapter 1. In chapter 2, it starts to expand.
Yeah.
And you see what God can do in one person or two or four people's lives when they will walk in their conviction. God will give them a corporate impact.
Yeah. And this again, the whole pattern here at the very end, the whole passage here, points to that proverb, another proverb,
mm-hmm.
which is, why wouldn't we quote Proverbs? Because these are wise guys. So, and how did they get wise? But it says that your gift will make room for you and
That's
bring
right.
you before great men.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the truth here. At the end of the time, mm-hmm. at the end of this testing time, the king commanded they should be brought in, and he brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And I can see the chief of the eunuchs is like, probably, look at my boys. Look what I've done with these guys. Sort of like, what is it? When Paul, there's the centurion
oh, yeah.
At the end of Acts. He yeah. said, I saved Paul because I heard he was a Roman citizen. That's yes. what he writes in his
the
thing.
Rescue.
And this guy, the eunuch, the chief of the eunuchs saying, look what I've Yeah. Look at these boys. Look at these. I don't know. But as the king spoke with them, you know, they realized, you know, the king realized as they stood before him that the matter of wisdom and understanding, the king asked some questions. Mm-hmm. You know, the Queen of Sheba asked Solomon questions, right. Got all the answers she wanted. Mm-hmm. And here we see, you know, these wise men, you know. They're here because, you know, they're here partly because Solomon went AWOL from God at the end of his life, you know? So the captivity train pretty much started there, it seems like, you know? But,
I wonder, does verse 17 happen if Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego don't have conviction?
No, I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so. I don't, you know, well, one, you know, they're eating that and they become fat, dumb, and happy. You know, I mean, it just becomes.
They become the modern Western man, yes.
I don't think so. I think you're right. I think, you know, they were choice vessels. Mm-hmm. And they could have tarnished themselves mm-hmm. by putting something into their bodies that they knew, you know, it's good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your statutes. Mm-hmm. So they're afflicted because they're in captivity and the statutes in their mind is like, well, we don't eat this stuff. That's so right. I'm thinking like whatever table was set before them, mm-hmm. it was not something kosher for them to eat. It was not, you know, it was something for unclean for them to eat. And so they, mm-hmm. they didn't eat it. And, you know,
So if verse 8 doesn't happen, and it's interesting too in the story, there's four of them in the story, but it's so far in this book, Daniel is the unquestioned leader.
Yes.
You don't see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego making decisions except for following the decision to follow Daniel.
Yeah.
So in verse 8, because verse 8 happened, the reward for verse 8 is verse 17. Yes. Daniel's purpose is in his heart, and the prophet of the purpose is in verse 17.
Yeah. Yeah. And now they are set up. Mm-hmm. They are set up to be a witness.
Yeah, you know,
they're set up to be a witness. And I don't know if they sang Psalm 137 because Psalm 137 says, you know, on the willows, we hung up our harps. Mm-hmm. How can we sing the Lord's song? But, you know, I've always like spun that in a different direction saying like, how can I not sing in a land that I am not, mm-hmm. you know, destined to live in? Like, yeah, how, you know, the song goes, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land, but every, you know, once you get to this place, mm-hmm. you are in a foreign land, and what are you going to sing? Yeah. And these guys are wise enough to sing the song that they knew, you know, because all of the Psalms are teaching you the convictions mm-hmm. in song, and even Psalm 119, probably the verses were songs that were sung. Anyway, but we want to get, since we have an opportunity, we can me and you are doing this next podcast,
okay.
We can talk about, we got a dream program coming up, don't we?
dream.
That's right. Daniel has to interpret dreams.
That's
and
right.
These four guys are going to have to stand on their convictions again, right?
Yeah. It's like you see the reward of following God. Mm-hmm. In one chapter, God doesn't make us wait for it. He says right away, you're in the wrong place in your mind, with suffering things that aren't fair, but can you walk with God with me in adverse circumstances? And if you do, I'll show you the value of in an invaluable place.
Yeah,
I'll show
amazing.
You your call in a place of crisis.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And I think we're going to learn a lot. Yeah. From studying this book.
This
I mean,
is a fun
obviously,
week.
Daniel's like, you know, Daniel and Revelation, there are two books that people mm-hmm. really want to know the how to unlock the keys, you know, right?
It's one of those books that ties in human history and God's plan and God's will beautifully, better than probably any book in the Old Testament, honestly speaking.
Yeah.
The juxtaposition of human history and God's will and God's plan for man. When you put those two together, you get a great understanding of our humanity in God's plan. And if you study Revelation, you go back to Daniel and Ezekiel also, but Daniel a whole lot.
That's
so it's a
true.
Great book this week. Join us. Let's walk together through Daniel.
That's right. Yeah. And subscribe to the Grace Hour Show on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcast, and give us a good rating. And Listen often and always. So for Pastor Ronaldo Brown, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Sebastian Palmieri has been our engineer today. We want to thank you again, Daniel. All week this week, we're talking about Daniel, and we want you to know how to have great convictions from the Word of God. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.